Well, now we are two. Robin Hilton's gone home. Carrie Brownstein's gone home. It's 4:35 on the final day in the morning.
4:35 in the morning. It's the war of attrition
here at Elsa. And there was not a soul on 6th Street when we just walked out of the band that you texted me and told me was, I don't remember quite the wording.
I don't remember what I said to you in the text, but I will say, just by way of introduction, this is Stephen Thompson, here with Bob Boylan.
Thank you.
On All Songs Considered. I will say that this has been one of the most exhilarating days of music I've experienced in my entire life. And part of the joy of that came from one band that I saw in the middle of the afternoon, had never heard of them, and instantly, completely fell in love. And it's absolutely, that feeling is like a drug. The band whose name I've said about 400 times today, I still have to rack my brain to get it exactly right, but it is...
I just found the text message.
Okay, this is my text this is my text to Bob. I just fell desperately in love with a band I've never heard of, Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. I literally wept. You will fall in love with this band. Bob, did you fall in love with this band?
I sure did, and it was a band that we waited with. Well, they were supposed to start at what time?
They were supposed to start at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And which was late. I mean, you know, because it was the last day and we were sort of beat.
We go there at 2 o'clock in the morning to see this band, and they proceed to be subjected to the world's worst sound check for an hour. And the entire time, I'm fearing that I've wildly oversold this band, that I've somehow, you know, that I somehow got swept up in the emotion of whatever, of the mojito I was drinking at the Rachel Ray party where I discovered this band. To set up, this is a 10-piece band with, you know, big old bass drum and trumpet and accordion and,
you know,
lots of percussion, tambourine.
Right, and what looks like, if not a husband and wife, certainly two lovers,
At the core of the band.
At the core of the band, absolutely.
There was so much going on, but at the heart of it was this couple. And she was just this lovely woman who did nothing but smile the entire set, including during these horrible, horrible sound problems they're having. But just has this loving, adorable, infectious grin on her face the entire time. And he's this tall, bearded, slightly dreadlocked...
You know, probably like a caftan.
Is that what you'd call it? I don't know what you'd call it, but he definitely sort of seemed like a religious figure at the center of this band. And the two of them would sing to each other, you know, each holding a microphone, just gazing into each other's eyes. Oh, it's really hard to sum up how great this band was. We're going to put some of their music on the show eventually as we sum up more. But
Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. I've now said it for the first time.
Very good. And they're from L.A. Zeros is Z-E-R-O-S, so it's not only hard to remember, but hard to spell. That was just one great experience.
And we will do a show that's a wrap-up show that takes all our favorites together with Carrie's and Robin's, and we'll do that during the course of the week. So let's just go through quickly some of the things that were highlights. I mean, PJ Harvey was our beginning of our day, right? Do you remember that?
I do remember that. It does seem like 3 days ago, but yeah, we just to kick off the day, just to warm up, we recorded a video session with PJ Harvey where she came in. And John Parrish, her guitarist, who was amazing. We grabbed this suite in a hotel room and set them up, and they sat in chairs, and she put a tiny little amplifier in her lap, and they just sat.
And the microphone went through the amp in a nice distorted way. It was magic. It was total magic for two songs, and then later, I saw the concert of PJ Harvey.
I didn't see the concert, but those two songs had me floating for a while.
I'm looking at my notes, and I saw this, I wrote down in my notes, I saw this very sincere young band called Princeton. I don't now even quite remember. I'm sorry, Princeton. It really is not anybody's fault. My battery, I think I do
remember liking Princeton at some point, so we'll have to explore further.
So I'll try and remember the actual things that I did. And I was going to go see a band called... The Low Anthem,
yeah,
at the exact place we wound up at too at night, but it was a private party, and I didn't have a way in. So I thought, I'm just going to cast my fate to the wind. It was right near the convention center, and I said to myself, I'm going to go stand at the down escalator at the convention center and I'm going to wait till something happens, and that's going to determine some of the rest of my day. I had something scheduled much later, but I had nothing for a couple of hours because that fell through. And I waited there, not 5 minutes, and down the escalator comes Tucker Martine, who is the fellow, the producer, if you listen to the other podcast, the producer who I quite love. I met the night before at a party NPR threw with Vanity Fair, and we, you know, talked a bunch, and there he was.
And he, Tucker Martine has produced Decemberist Records and Laura Veers and Laura Gibson
and Town Wind.
And
I first fell in love with him with Bill Frisell Records. That's my introduction to him. So we had a ton to talk about, and I saw that this woman named Julie Dwaron was playing, and I said, you know, Tucker, have you ever heard of her? He says, yeah, I've sort of heard of her, but I've never seen her. I said, well, let's go. So we hopped in a cab, which is the first time I'd gotten off sort of the grid of 6th Street, and we went, and she was just wonderful. And it was funny because when I saw her, the first thing I thought of was it was Laura Gibson on an awful lot of speed. the songs were great, and it was just her and a drummer, and it was quite enjoyable. And then the Crystal Stills were playing at the same place, this called the Spider House, and we went and saw that. And then publicist Lisa Robinson came up to me and said, have you ever watched Lost? And I said, yeah, actually, it's one of the few shows I watch with my son. And she said, do you know the band Geronimo Jackson? I said, well, yeah, there's sort of like this band from the 60s that they're referenced to in Lost. Why? She said, well, they're playing here. Well, sort of playing here. The band that they used to make up this band, Geronimo Jackson, which never really existed in the 60s, but is part of the lore of Lost, is playing. So you ought to come. So I did, and called my son promptly from when they came on. I said, I'm seeing Geronimo Jackson. And they were great. They had a sitar, and they sounded very Vanilla Fudgy and kind of instrumental psychedelia, and I quite liked it. Craig Finn was there from the whole steady, and he had a little one of those flip cams and was taping them. There may be a chance maybe they're going on tour with one another. I'm not sure, but at any rate. So then I hopped downtown, went and saw Telekinesis.
Oh, yeah.
I went and saw the band Telekinesis, who I enjoyed, but I only saw a couple of songs, and then saw a group called Wooden Birds, who are also quite a nice band, very quiet. The American Analog set is where the lead singer comes from and bass player comes from. I'm stopping about 7 o'clock at night here, so where are you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I could mention that I saw a Kanye West concert today.
Wow.
I like that's what, about third in the list of I feel like I'm burying the lead a little bit. But there was a very poorly kept secret that Kanye West would show up, and really electric. I mean, he was there with a lot of his various colleagues, he was standing on stage, but you could see that he wasn't doing much of the heavy lifting and didn't play a lot of his own material. But it was Kanye West at, you know, a music festival for, you know, where you're there to discover new talent. You know, I didn't see it, but Metallica played last night. You know, it's every once in a while there's just some ridiculously gigantic band, and so I was glad that I got a chance to see one and to see some huge spectacle, and had a lot of fun there. And the other, speaking of huge spectacle, I saw a band recommended to me by one of our fellow producers, Lars Gottrich. The band is called Monotonics, and they're from Israel, and it was absolute chaos. Just one of the most, it's basically like if you love rock and roll, like heavy rock and roll, song form isn't terribly important to you, and you love climbing and personal risk, this is the band for you. It was probably the most photographed, probably the highest ratio of photographers to fans of any band that I've seen at the festival. It was just absolute bedlam. The lead guy, who's basically just climbing around and jumping on people and throwing things, looked like Ted Nugent in his youth, but gone to seed a little bit. And it was just, you didn't want, it was one of those things, you know, if you've ever been to a show and there's some guy in the crowd and he's just a little off center, or he's drunk, or he's on something, or it's some, and you just make a mental note, watch out for that guy. And that guy was in the band.
And the band is?
Monotonics.
Yeah, yeah.
Monotonics with an X. You know, that could have easily been the highlight of any day, and I would have been happy.
I saw this group called the Shackletons, which could have been my highlight, yeah. Totally. I mean, after PJ Harvey, I might add. And they were absolutely fantastic. The lead singer, incredible charisma, great lyrics. And like the group that we were talking about, Edward Sharp, and the magnetic zeros without the apostrophe. Or is it without the E?
Without the E.
Without the E, that's what it is, yeah.
They should have added needless apostrophes.
Right. like them, had a way of getting the crowd to put their arms around one another and sway together. And he was on chairs throwing flowers. Apparently he traded some of his work at a florist for flowers or something like that. So he's constantly working flowers in as part of his act. And that's the Shackletons. They were great. And then I went to see the band who I'd hoped to see all festival long that eluded me, and that was Ponytail.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I talked about the crazy, crazy band with Molly Siegel from Baltimore. And they were absolutely over the top fantastic.
Oh.
And this is not a band for everyone's taste, but energy and musicality. You know, a lot of punk is a lot of screaming, and Molly does that, and she does that kind of like the Grackles here in Austin, this high-pitched, almost porpoise-like sound. And I quite loved it. Not knocking it. That's not everyone's taste, but their music. I mean, this is sort of a punk band with roto-toms, you know. I was bowled over by this.
I think porpoise punk is a new genre that we're concocting at 5 o'clock in the morning.
And then went over to see this Edward Sharpe thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's been such a successful festival. We always have a wonderful time. I mean, we're music people, and this is just wallowing in our favorite thing. But this just seemed, you know, we did a preview show and we talked about all these things that we'd never heard before that we wanted to check out. And when we went and checked those things out, we loved them, and we were really, really glad that we discovered the things we discovered while we were preparing to go for the festival. But the best thing about this experience for me, and I think for you as well, is that we're going to do a show about having seen the festival, and there's going to be a whole new set of bands that we'd never heard of when we were preparing to do the festival. That's as good as it gets.
Absolutely. So this is to remind Robin, note to self, and Carrie, note to self, the ticket return date, Sunday late in the day.
No leaving on Saturday.
No. You guys missed it. Take care, all.